Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of July 17th, 2016. This is Jack Brissett Mills. My favorite person to talk to, Kofi. I have him this week for our conversation. But first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week 16. This one here I wrote 2 years ago, verse 16. The success I now feel from my spiritual path, I must keep to myself, not even to think on it, that what may one day come will not be stunted by my pride. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. Verse 16a. Something I hold now deep, the way this light has entered, has rent and filled me. My call is to carry this glow as sacred image that some day will rise mighty to remind me of myself. I had thought Kofi was going to talk about something maybe related to Rudolf Steiner's writings, but ended up we talked about the recent horrible deaths in the news. But I enjoyed it anyway, as I always do. I cut it into two parts. It was so long. Here's part one this week. Thank you so much, Kofi.
Alaska?
Yeah, I've never been there.
It's one of the places that I think it would be nice to...
It's so big, of course. It's so big. How do you know where to go? I guess you only go in the warm areas or...
Well, you can go near the Aleutian Island so you can see Russia.
So you can see Russia from their house. Yeah,
you can see Sarah Palin, and then she can show you Russia.
There was talk that she would be the vice presidential nominee for Donald Trump, but I don't know. Now today it's Newt Gingrich. He's the most likely.
Like he's working with him now.
Pretty sad.
Well, somebody said that Trump will be fine. I mean, it would be nice to have his daughter be his vice president. so it would be an inheritance kind of.
Oh yeah, she'll be next, and after that, yeah, he can get rid of the Congress if he likes.
So it would be his family. Yeah. The presidency would be his. His family throne or something.
When he said today how Newt Gingrich would be great because he would be great in the debates, the vice president debates, I wondered why he said that, because with Donald Trump, he doesn't need to follow the rules. He doesn't need to have debates.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to show us his tax returns or anything. He just can be elected without any trouble.
And that's what he's doing. I mean...
Yeah.
The debate, the Republican debates that he boasts of winning all of them. Yeah. I didn't even hear him talk about anything. He just stood there and started cursing and insulting people, and then they say he won.
It's a very strange world, Kofi.
Yeah,
I don't understand any of it.
See, the other time I was telling you, I can't understand Americans. How this kind of person goes that far? I can't understand them.
I laugh because I don't want to cry. I've been almost crying for days and days now. So, did you want to talk about something kind of deep and exciting, or does it... I'm happy just to talk about Donald Trump if you want. He's more fun to talk about. Maybe that's why he's so popular. He makes people laugh. I saw some clips of him when he was on talk shows in the 90s and about his views of women. And he would say, my wife just does what I tell her. That isn't that right, fellas? You know, all the men in the audience go, yeah, that's right. She just does whatever you tell her. I mean,
I don't have to talk about what is bothering people, me, and what is bothering people. Because they don't go anywhere. But the 2 days, the way the police have killed two people, I just don't. I don't understand.
I've been trying to think, what could I possibly do myself? Of course, on Twitter and Facebook, you can be very out front about it. That's one good thing, but it doesn't do it. Maybe it does do something. Who knows? I mean, it's nice to see that people care. Then I thought, well, if it happened in my town, of course I would go down and stand at the police station with everybody else. And then you need a good sign. A good sign can make a big difference. You have to have the right protest sign. Mm-hmm. But really, to tell black people to do something different, there's nothing you can tell black people to do different. Unless, I said to Barbara, should we tell black people that they all should have machine guns all the time? Maybe that would help, because then the white people would say, hey, we have to do something about all these guns. That happened in the 60s. The Black Panther Party started arming themselves. And that's when the white people put limits on guns. That's the only way to do that. I mean, but I don't know what to actually do. That's the trouble. You just cry. I just cry. I just look at these stories and just there's nothing to do.
I like the British investigation of the Iraq
good.
And unlike Bush, Tony Blair admitted that he was wrong.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that I don't understand about Americans.
Yes.
Why are they afraid to say that was wrong?
Right.
What is wrong with saying that?
Right.
Admitting that that's wrong.
Right.
I think it was maybe 6-7 years ago. I worked with a man, and he invited me to go for a walk. And he was working in California, but whenever he came to the East, he would invite me, and then I would go, and we walked together. It was the time that Americans had detected that everything Bush said to go to war was wrong. It was about that time.
Yes.
And I said, I told David that when they have proved that everything was wrong, but both Americans and Iraqi people have been killed. A lot of people have been killed.
Yeah.
Well, for the Americans, it's sad that they died. But since they are the ones who initiated it, I sympathize with them, but wouldn't it be all right for them to say that even though our people have died, we are sorry that we killed your people without reason, without a tangible reason? David said, Americans don't do that.
Yeah, we can't do that.
They cannot. I said, why? He said, that shows that they are weak. I said, my God.
Yeah, it's the opposite, isn't it? I mean, there are levels.
So up till now, they don't say they were wrong to kill people. Kill people for no reason, just no reason.
Yeah. A political reason, yeah. Yeah, there are levels of strength, aren't there? The one level, the childish level, is when you pretend you are right no matter what. And then the true strength is when you admit you're wrong. Yeah, that's a higher level of strength.
Yeah.
And they can't do that. They made fun of Obama saying he's on his world apology tour.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he might have said. Maybe they were assuming he would apologize for Bush And so they said he was doing this before he did it, and he didn't do it. I don't even know if he ever apologized for anything.
I don't think. Where did he apologize? I don't see. I didn't. Anyway.
So, even the thought that he might was enough to make half the country freak out that we're going around apologizing. That's this whole question. You know, the reason why the right wing didn't want a United Nations is that it implies that we might share the control of the world with others. We don't want that. We want to just completely control everybody.
Yeah.
And the we, of course, doesn't mean the we. It means white men.
Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so little time, Kofi, ago. I'm studying the Civil War right now with Barbara. And in the House of Representatives, which was only white men, they were arguing for the Constitutional Amendment, the 13th Amendment, which would outlaw slavery in this country. That was 160 years ago or so. And the argument, if you tried to say that blacks were equal to whites, it would never pass. The only way it could possibly pass is if all you're talking about is the legal side of things, where if a black man is brought before a court, he could legally be seen as a human being. And then maybe, okay, but only if we're at war, and this would be a way to stop the war. It would not pass. That, at least looking at the history, Lincoln knew, everybody knew that if the war ended, that amendment would not pass. We didn't mind slavery if everybody was at peace, but we did want to get rid of it if it would stop the war. People were tired of the war. This is a short time ago, Kofi, and
oh my God,
this is a very short time ago. And people like me, if I stood up and said, "This is ridiculous," I would be dead right away. People, I would not. I kept looking at this movie saying, we are born into our time, because if I was born then, I would be dead right away. I couldn't live there. I could not live there.
So the abolition of slavery could only happen because people wanted the war to stop.
That's it. If you ask the same people...
So it's not because yeah, slavery was...
No. They were totally happy with this thing called the Missouri Compromise, which meant slave states would stay slave states. New states would not be slave states. Everything could be stable that way. And that was totally okay. Until Kansas was coming into being a new state. And the people there were fighting the question, are we slave or not? And the Supreme Court ruled that they could be a slave state. That threw the Missouri Compromise out the window, and that made slavery not a settled, stable thing anymore, but something that would grow into the North. That was enough to start trouble, which allowed the country to elect Lincoln, which was an anti-slavery president. And because he was elected, then the South pulled away. The South said, we are not part of you anymore.
Oh, so that's how the Civil War started.
Yeah, because Lincoln was elected. And he was anti-slavery. So as soon as he was elected, the South said, well, we're out of here. We're gone. But that was so recently. Humans don't change in 160 years. You know, we're not evolving fast enough. The ideas change. It's pretty interesting to think how it's now at least... Oh, I wanted to mention the guy across the street in this connection. I live in a rural area, and the man across the street is a laborer. And he's low-education, white guy. And he's recently lost his job because he's too angry. He has a drinking problem. So... in the meantime, he still lives here. He's probably going to leave in the next week or two. But in the meantime, he still lives there. Well, he lost his job. What does he do? He's got a friend who comes over, and then they put a a Civil War flag on their truck, and the truck.
Oh, that X
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and the truck is also a very loud diesel truck that blows black smoke. And so this is the last refuge of a man who he has no more job, he has no more real respect for himself. That's the last thing he can do. It's a real, to be that kind of person, to be that, to think that your race is superior, even when you are drunk and out of a job, it's simply a very, very childish anger reaction.
Yeah.
Blaming people you don't know, blaming the world, really, for your problem. It must be the Jews, if you're in Europe in the last century, it must be the Jews. In this country, in the teens and 20s of last century, it was the Italians. You got to blame somebody. Now it's the Syrians or the, I don't know what you're going to call them.
The Iraqi Syrians.
Yeah, who knows? I heard somebody say, don't go to Colorado that way. There's Syrians living in between here and there. You got to go this way to avoid the Syrians. Talking about a trip from Austin, Texas to Boulder, Colorado, there's some way you've got to go to avoid the Syrians. Can you believe that? I mean, to have the mentality that means that you think of, maybe you're just afraid, maybe people are just so afraid. That's certainly a question. How do people get so afraid that they can't even walk? Not the fear that you'd have of being shot by the police, that's a legitimate fear, but the fear that Syrians are going to infect you with a virus or something, you know, that's the kind of fear that drives this hysteria we've got.
I don't know.
Do you have any solution, Kofi? Do you have any idea? I mean, is it just something to laugh at? Is it something to cry about? Is it nothing to be done?
I think somebody, I think it was you or someone, I was reading, and they were listening. The person listed when a policeman kills a black.
Right.
The first thing is they say it's not right. And
right.
They go on.
Oh, administrative leave. They have administrative leave.
And then go next step and next step and next step, and then the last step is that he's free.
Yeah, back to
policeman is free.
Acquitted in the trial. Acquitted.
And that's how it goes all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody gets jailed or anything. Right.
It's the same with the bankers after the collapse of the everything you look at, the same with anywhere you look, it's the people in power do not get punished.
Yeah. So I think what I wrote underneath was that please those who they can listen to say something, because if a black, I mean the black people have been shouting and saying, crying and doing everything, but it still goes on.
Yeah.
So if a black person, the people who are suffering, if they say anything, it doesn't go anywhere. It
doesn't do anything.
So no, it doesn't do anything. So I think maybe if people who can be heard, who people they listen to, say something, then it may work. Because slavery would not have ended if it was just blacks screaming and
that's
shouting.
True. That's true.
Wouldn't go anywhere. I think the same thing with this police shooting. The people they are killing, if they cry, the only thing they say, they deserved it.
Yeah.
That is the only thing they say. He deserved it. He's not an angel. He deserved it.
Yeah.
If he had been staying in his house, he wouldn't have been killed. Who stays in their house all the time?
I'm a pessimist. So, I'm a pessimist in. I heard a good phrase. I'm an optimist in regard to things, and a pessimist in regard to men. And so when you say this, I say, well, even Ted Nugent, think of the biggest racist you can think of that these people would listen to. Think of the most important person that these racists would listen to. If we're talking about racists, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about racists? Are we talking about It's all racist.
Okay. It's all racism.
So, because you could just be talking about people in power with guns, but okay, talking about racism. If you find someone that racists listen to, like a Ted Nugent, I don't know if you know him, but he's...
Yeah, well, he appeared in Trump's...
He's a failed musician, and all he does is makes money now being racist. That's all he makes money at. But if he suddenly said, look, it's gone too far, you people should not be so racist anymore, suddenly he would no longer be listened to. That's my pessimism. I think that if someone actually changes their stripes like that, suddenly they would be criticized.
Yeah.
And so it takes more than that. It has to be more than that. So my solution is look at how successful it has been that people believe their vote doesn't matter. The idea that your vote does not matter is a successful story of the powerful convincing the masses that they have no voice. They've done a great job. If you ask people, are you voting? Does this make you more likely to vote? No, they don't think that. It has successfully happened that the powerful people, all we really have as a mass is the power to vote, and most of us don't vote.
Because they make us think that...
They make us think it doesn't matter, and yet it does. That is the one thing. All these gun-toting politicians that get money from NRA, they would be voted out if people actually voted. But since people don't vote, they get to stay where they are and continue. Because even down to the city councils, if you really were conscious of your power as a citizen, you would know which one of those people support the current police force. That hires people. It doesn't have a overseer to check up on claims of racism. Every police force should have its own little way of checking complaints from brought by the citizens, but most of them don't.
Yeah.
And it's because of the idea that our vote doesn't matter. That's been very successful. As a black man, I would walk around with a gun until somebody shot me. That's what I would do. I would just do that. And then I would be one more example. And over time of enough people being shot that way, either gun laws would be changed or something good would happen. I think if enough people were killed publicly with camera, I'd have a camera all the time. I'd walk around town with cameras all the time. Until somebody shot me, and then I would hope that that film would be seen, and then if more people did that, I mean, what else could a person do? What else can you do? I have no idea what.
I don't know. It's another way. It's another way of acting. When Obama came first. And his priest, his pastor,
Jeremiah
Wright.
Yeah,
even it wasn't Obama himself.
No.
Saying anything.
Yeah,
His pastor said it long some time past.
Yes, yes.
It became so big a deal that Obama could not say anything anymore about racism. So I don't know. I don't know what.
They made a story about that in Chicago. Every time someone is elected mayor of Chicago, if it's an Irish man, he hires all his Irish friends. If it's a Polish man, he hires all his Polish friends. But then a black man was elected mayor of Chicago, and everyone was afraid he was going to hire black people. And, of course, he couldn't. He could not hire black people because that would prove he was a racist, the black man. It would prove he was racist. And so he has to show people that he's not a racist, so he has to hire white people. That's how it goes. And Obama had to do the same thing. He had to prove that he's not an angry black man. Remember when Michelle was accused of being an angry black woman? I wanted to talk about your method, which was successful. You had a neighbor. Maybe it was successful because you didn't know, if the neighbor was actually telling you he wanted to kill you, he put a noose up in his garage. But you were clueless. You were so clueless that you brought you were kind to him, and you brought him vegetables and. over time, he mellowed. He softened.
Yeah. In addition to the news, which I didn't know what it meant because I have not lived here, I didn't know.
I know. That's a nice artwork you have in your garage.
My was saying, "Oh, he had a toy. Yeah, maybe I'll like it."
He's good at tying knots.
They said he wanted to take the toy. So besides that, when he knew that he realized that I had no clue about that thing, one morning he just came to me. He came to me and said, "Do you know I have a gun?" And then he turned his back pocket and said, "Yeah, I have a gun here."
Oh,
I said, "Oh, but do you need that? This neighborhood seems so quiet and nice."
Again, you were clueless. Again, you were clueless, yeah. And that worked. And I'm trying to say that worked, right? Because he changed.
Yeah, it didn't work. Now his wife, anytime his wife goes somewhere, and like she goes to meetings.
Yeah.
And then when they serve food at the meetings,
yeah.
So when there's leftover, she always brings some to her husband. And then when she's bringing some to the husband, she brings some to me.
That's lovely. And you had a second dealing with someone with the mailbox.
Oh, the mailbox. Yeah, the mailbox. They trashed my mailbox. I didn't know who did. But then it is...
And it was because you had the gun and flag on it.
I had a gun and flag on it. So I went to buy a mailbox that was white.
And then they didn't do it anymore.
And then they stopped doing anything.
Now that, of course, is conforming, right? That's a conforming. That's not the same thing. That wouldn't. I don't think that works. But it did in that case. It did in that case.
Mm.
And then a child was... maybe it wasn't because you were black, but it was for some reason he was... threatening to, or he was burning things near you.
Oh yeah, in the back of my house. I don't know. He was a child, so
yeah, he's just a child. You can't tell.
I don't deem it as a threat.
But in your case, nonviolence worked, right? Mm. You have to say you were never threatening to everybody.
Mm.
You were kind to everybody. You simply lived and were generous, and it worked. You have a lovely place, lovely neighborhood now.
Mm. Yes. You see, this boy, the boy who burnt something in the back of my house,
yeah.
Eventually he came to my school.
Oh, so you were the teacher, kind of.
It was after the encounter, after maybe a couple of years, he came to high school, and then he came to my school.
And of course, you knew each other, yeah.
Yeah. And he was so respectful. He became so respectful all the time I knew him, after that time.
Did you study the methods of Gandhi in India? Did you?
I read some things, but I never studied it.
The one thing I know of is the British, just to be mean, they outlawed people making salt. People would, for centuries, go to the ocean and get a bucket of water, bring it home, and then let it evaporate, and then they would have salt. The British wanted to make money on salt making, so they outlawed salt making. And so Gandhi decided that this would be a method of nonviolent resistance. We would simply go to the ocean and let them hurt us, which they did. Four by four by four by four, the Indian people walked toward the ocean. The British would hit them and beat them and arrest them. And after days and days, the British got tired of beating them and gave up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the method. That's the method that works. You wait until your opponent is tired of hurting you.
Yeah.
But it has to be extraordinary, the tolerance you have for violence, the tolerance you have.
See, in my case, the case you were just referring to.
Yeah.
I was ignorant about they were doing. Yeah. So it didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel. But I think that if I knew what they were, if I understood what it was doing, I think I would have been angry.
Yes. And it wouldn't have worked then. You would still be at war.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go to him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even talk to him.
Yeah.
When I see him, I would just close my door and not talk to him.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the ignorance helped me.
Yeah. Of course, if you were a saint at the time and you knew about nonviolence, you could have acted the same way, and it would have worked, and you would have seen, yes, this is the way to go.
Yeah, but I'm not a saint, so now that I know what they are doing to the blacks, I wonder if I can really meet somebody and be as nice as I was with my neighbor.
Yeah, I'll stop it there then. It goes another half an hour, and that'll come next week. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to comment, please drop me a line at jackmills@mac.com or go to my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net. This is Jack Bresette Mills. See you again next week. Bye-bye.